We're going to talk about the Bible today. On Wednesday night, the Wednesday night group started asking me questions a few weeks ago, and I thought, I think I need to do a series on helping people to grow spiritually. So that's what I call this, Keys to Spiritual Growth. Okay? I even chose a background that shows a little keyhole there, so it's pretty cool. And notice that it's a leaf, so it's all about growing. Look what it says here in Corinthians. We are glad to seem weak, said the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, which was Greece, to help you. It helps show that you are actually strong. We pray that you will become mature. That phrase, become mature, means to grow up. In Christianity, what does God expect of us? He expects us to grow into health. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, said Jesus. He wants you to grow into responsible Christian life. Well, what is that? Is it just going to church? It's more. It's being effective in your family. It's being effective in your career. It's being effective in everything that you do in your life. It's not just about the church time. It's easy to put on the church mask when you come to church and pretend like you're all spiritual and all together, but what about the rest of your life? What about tomorrow, Monday morning? What about, you know, the middle of the week? All of those things, the Lord's going to help you to understand how to live them out. So let's look into this. Take out your sermon notes and follow along. God intends that all of us grow and mature. It is, God put this into the physical creation, and he put it into spiritual reality, okay? No matter what you look at in this earth, whether it's a little baby duck or a little baby plant or a tree or a baby, just a baby, okay? They've got to grow. They're born, they're cute when they're little, but then they start to immediately start changing. They get teeth, they start to interact, they start to say their first words, they start to walk on their own. Pretty soon they're eating on their own. If that didn't happen, we would think something is wrong with them, right? Now, in life, a lot of people that are in grown-up adult bodies have never grown up. They're still like, in a way, they're kind of like babies in the way they live and react to life. And God doesn't want you to stay in an ungrown-up state. There's actually a sickness when people are that way, where they never mature physically. Same thing spiritually. If you don't mature emotionally, spiritually, and in every way, like Jesus, it says he grew up before God and man. We won't understand what life is about, so we'll have what's called disease, and we'll be spiritually anemic and spiritually ineffective, and if you will, even socially that way too. And we've got to, as Christians, understand that that's why God called you. He wants you to become one of the people on earth that helps people around them. Watch. We are not meant to remain as children. That word children in Greek is babies. At the mercy of every false teaching. In some translations it says, at every false wind of false doctrine. There's so many superstitions and so many false beliefs that we have, that we grew up with culturally, or that you yourself have developed in your mind, or maybe you watch too much Hollywood and you believe that all kinds of weird stuff that they kind of teach through their movies and their media. Or maybe you've been in a false religion and you believe all kinds of strange things and superstitions. Maybe one guy told me that so-and-so was in witchcraft. And, you know, that's why I haven't been coming. I'm going, so? I want people that were in all kinds of weird backgrounds to come here so that they can hear the Word of God. Because the Word of God can change a witch, a warlock, a sorcerer, a pagan, an atheist, an agnostic person. The Word of God can change anybody. We don't have to fear. We who have God in our hearts don't have to fear. Listen to what Romans says. Neither height nor depth nor angel nor demon nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So there is nothing and no one that can harm you as a Christian. And God is sovereign over our lives. And you live and you die. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Like Anthony, he's in the place of glory now. So did he do something wrong? I don't know. We'll ask God when we get there, or maybe you won't. Because it doesn't matter, because it's appointed unto man to die once, and after that, the judgment. So all of us already have our appointment. You're not going to evade your appointment. You know how all of us are late for our appointments? Don't worry. When it comes to that appointment, you'll never be late. Elizabeth Taylor told the funeral director, I want you to bring me in 15 minutes late to my memorial service. They brought her body in, but she wasn't late for her death, you know. We are meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to mature, there's that word again, to grow up in every way, how? Into Christ. So it is God's intent that you grow up. So grow up. We say that to each other. Oh, grow up, right? And what we mean is get with it, act like an adult. Well, God is saying the same thing, grow up. But he doesn't just say it. He has put it into the fabric and the woof of creation itself. It is part of his design that you grow up and that you become effective and mature as a Christian. When I first turned to the Lord, I listened to Michael. He said, pray for the whole world. I remember that as a brand new Christian, thinking those thoughts. And those are cool thoughts. Because when you're a brand new Christian, you start growing and become concerned for people around you. We need to grow up, and God wants us to grow up. I never thought when I was sitting in a pew listening to sermons and listening to church services, I never thought I'd be behind the pulpit, never. But God decided otherwise, and so that's a neat thing. Now, doesn't mean you're going to become a preacher, but whatever it is that God has you to do in your life, he'll help you. Watch. You grow when you are nourished on God's word. That's what Jesus said, okay? Look what he said in Matthew chapter 4. You need more than just bread. This is a more modern translation. And I put into parentheses, this is my insert, so it's not in the original text. Physical needs. The inference is life isn't just about living and working and getting money and accumulating and just this life. It's much more than that. You need more than just doing that. Yes, you need that. And all of us understand that, because if you don't work, the Bible says you don't. Except in America, where they mail the food right to your doorstep. No, just kidding. I mean, actually, in the Old Testament, God said, do not harvest the corners of your fields so that the poor can go get the food. And that's the whole story of Ruth. She was out gleaning in the fields, and the man that owned the field said, leave some extra for her. Because that's what God expects, that they go get it. And in our culture, we're like, oh, let's mail it to them. And so they just sit around and expect a handout, and that's not the right way. God wants you to be responsible for yourself and to reach out and say, okay, God, help me to sustain myself. But you need more than just physical needs for yourself. You need more. You should feed on every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, says the King James. Every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Unless you don't believe that the Bible is the word of God. If you don't believe that the Bible is the word of God, then you have a different issue that needs to be addressed. I can help you. I can help you to understand why the Bible is the word of God. It's not a book written by a bunch of white guys. Okay, that's the favorite whipping boy of today's culture. It is a book written by God through different men and women of God through the centuries, and is given to us so that we can know. Look what it says here, the word of grace. When it says word, it always means the Bible. The teaching of the Bible is what that inference is. The teaching and the doctrines of the Bible are able to build you up and give you all the blessings that God has for all his people. That's what we are admonished to do. You grow when you nourish. The word nourish means, I have a question for you. How often do you eat? Memorial Day, right? Everybody's thinking about, oh, I'm going to have a huge barbecue. How often do you eat? Every day. You eat every day, most of us. Some of us fast once in a while. And it's actually not a bad thing to get into, fasting and praying. Jesus said, this kind of demon only comes out by fasting and praying. If there's some sin besetting in your life, perhaps you need to say, okay, God, I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray until I overcome this thing, whatever it is. Drugs, you said that Mariah's back on drugs. Well, there's a besetting sin there. And behind that sin is Satan. So in order for her to be set free from it, people around her need to fast and pray. And she herself needs to, too. If you really want to be delivered from substance abuse, alcohol, any other sin that's a besetting sin in your life, cry out to God and ask him to deliver you. What does it say in the Lord's Prayer? Deliver us from evil. Do you believe it or do you just say it? Because Jesus would often ask them, what do you want? According to thy faith, be it done unto you. So if you want deliverance from God, it's there for you. Do you want it? He asked this one man that was paralyzed, do you want to walk again? How about you? Do you really want to be off drugs and alcohol, or do you actually like it? You like the buzz. You like the vida loca, and that's why you're not off of it. Have you paid enough price yet? I mean, I'm amazed. I bury so many people who are all shriveled up at 30, 40 years old. Why? Drug abuse. I met a young man that I ministered to here at Grace Community Church way back. I just met him the other day. I was at the gas station. Hey, you can't. I was whistling. You can't be that happy. I looked and I go, oh, wow, what are you doing? And he was all shriveled up and he's only like 30. Heroin. I could tell right away what it was, heroin, because it's that look. It's that, it's that way, and they're all skinny and they look like a walking AIDS patient. It's terrible. Do you want to be delivered from it or not? Or do you really just like it? Because if you like it, you'll never get away from it. You have to be sick of it and want to be out of it. One guy that was a real heavy-duty heroin user that I'm actually working on bringing somebody this summer who's an ex-drug gang member, kind of a singer evangelist guy. I'm going to bring him so that we can reach out to people around us, because there's so many people that are bound by sin and by drugs and by all of this weird worldly culture. We got to get them out of it. And so we're going to bring some folks in to do an evangelistic thrust to help. This friend of mine was a heavy-duty heroin dealer and user. He was part of the Mexican mafia. He was one of the main connections to bring the stuff across the border. And he told me, you know what, because he became a Christian, he turned his life around, he got out of the mafia, all of that stuff, and he says the only way for people to stop is if they want to stop. Because you can take them to every kind of rehab, every kind of this, that, he goes, and it's just a big old movida. I'm sorry if that offends you, those of you. It means it's just all this game that people play. He goes, when I decided I want to stop, I stopped. I locked myself in a room. I threw up for a week, and I went through all kinds of horrible withdrawals, and then I said, nope, no more. And, you know, it was, and he had all these huge track marks up and down his arms from slamming. He would call it slamming. And a lot of people in today's culture, the young people, oh, I don't use needles. I just smoke it. It's the same thing, dude. Okay. Same thing. Smoke it, slam it, however you put it in your body, it's getting in there and it does the same thing. All right? So don't deceive yourself. All of that stuff just is going to wreck you. Okay. Oh, I don't use the real hard stuff. I just smoke this. Come on. You know, come on. Anyone who listens to my words and follows them is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. The rain comes, the torrents and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, but it won't collapse because it's built on the bedrock of the Word of God. But anyone who hears my word, this is Jesus talking, not me. I'm just reading what Jesus spoke. My word ignores it. If you ignore the Bible, ignore the word, you're foolish. The Bible says you're foolish. Why are you foolish? Because no one is exempted from what he just described. The torrent, the flood, the storm, it's going to come against you no matter what. Oh, no, not me. Oh, yeah, you. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have crises in your family, in your friendships, at your work. There is no one that is exempted from the troubles of this life. Anyone who hears my word and ignores it is foolish. Jesus said it, not me, so don't get mad at me. He's the one that said that you're a fool if you don't listen to the word of God. So fight with him if you want to win. You can't win. Like a person who builds his house on sand. You ever seen those sand sculptures that people make on the beaches, especially on Memorial Days? They're pretty cool, right? But guess what happens in the nighttime? The tide comes in and away goes the sand sculpture, right? If you build your house on anything but Jesus and God, what's going to happen to you is the storms are going to come against you and you're going to fall. Look what he says, that person. Who builds his house on sand, the rains and the floods came and the winds beat against your life, against you. And what happens? You fall with a mighty crash. And why do you fall? Because you didn't put yourself on the Word of God. Now, the people that did put themselves on the Word of God, are they exempted from the storms and from the challenges and from the troubles of life? No. But because they have their roots into the Word of God, no matter what storm comes against you, there they are, even after the hurricane comes by. Can you? Can you look? You've seen me. That's why God has allowed me to go through the things I've gone through in front of you all. You've seen me go through the death of a son, the death of a sister, the death of a dad, the taking care of an 80-year-old woman at my house. You've seen me go through all kinds of stuff. I've got drug addicts in my family. I've got crackheads. I've got, do I have a heroin addict? Let me think. I did have a heroin addict for a little while. I'm just telling you, I've gone through all of that stuff, and I know how to go through it because of this. It doesn't mean that I understand everything and I can deliver everybody and that somehow that I'm better than it. Not at all. It just means that because I've tried to build my life into this, I noticed, I told you this before, that when my son died, I felt like, how come I still have the faith? Most people, they run away when something really bad happens to them. Not me. I'm like, nope, no thanks. I'm going to stay with God, man. Because there's no place else to go. Like Peter said, to whom else shall we go? Are you going to go to Buddha? Are you going to go to Muhammad? Are you going to go to atheism, agnosticism? Go there, go there. Going to go to witchcraft? Go there. See what you find. There's nothing there. It's vacuous. It's empty. You'll fall through it. It's a false thing. It's thin ice. It's a cliff. How many more metaphors can I use? If you want to have a bedrock existence, you've got to get into this. Jesus taught it. I'll show you. This is the secret to spiritual growth. This is an old metaphor that a lot of us older Christians, veteranos, they say in the Spanish world. And what does veterano mean? Does it mean military veteran? It means an old grizzly guy who's been around forever and ever and survived. So us old veterano Christians, veteran Christians, when we first started to listen to the Word of God, there was these various little symbols that they would show us. Here's one of them. It's a hand, and on the fingers here, read, study, memorize, and meditate. And there's a book. The book is the Bible, okay? Now, there's an issue here. If you hold on to the Bible, I'm just going to show you like so, with just two fingers. Pull it from me. So you can get it from me, okay? But now don't use both hands. Try to pull it from me now. Instead of pull it. I've got all fingers on it, right? She goes, well, you're a guy. Let me try Andrew. Why do you think I chose her? Just kidding. The example is there. Grab the Bible. Hold on to that Bible. And the way you do this, metaphorically speaking, the how you do this isn't just by, oh, it's a magical book. I'll just have it with me all the time. It'll protect me from Satan, you know. It doesn't work that way. It's not some magic, okay? There's no such thing. That's false. There's no magic. There's the power of God, and it's contained in this teaching, okay? So I'm going to show you. First thing is to hear. Hold up your little finger. Hear. Tickle your ear, not somebody else's. But faith comes. Nobody laughed with me. Oh, come on, guys. Lighten up, man. Sometimes Christian churches, the guy I did the funeral for on Thursday, his wife told me he got jaded with the church. And I go, why? I go, no, don't. You don't have to tell me why. I know why. Because sometimes churches get so kind of weird about sticking their nose in your life. That's not what we're here for. We're here to help you. That's all. Know this. I don't care what your background is. I don't care all the failures that you've had. If you're here, great. We'll help you. Okay, but I'm not going to go chasing you around and seeing if you're following God. We don't do that here. We just don't do it. You want God. If you want the word, here it is. We teach it. We try to model it. We will help you, but we're not going to do it for you. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
So I just need to listen, right? Yeah, listening's good. Hearing by the what?
Word
of God. So if you want faith in your life to increase, like the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith, you need to hear, and you need to hear the word of God. Now, there's a lot of ways to hear the word of God. You can read it. You can put it on audio. Robin told me she has a little app on her phone. I've got it too. You can listen to it audibly. It puts you on a reading program, all kinds of cool stuff. But the only way to do for your faith to increase and to understand the things of God is to get into this. If you don't, you'll never grow. If you just come once a week on Sundays and that's all you do, then you're going to be very spiritually anemic. You need to have much more of a daily interaction with God. I'll show you, okay, as we go on. The next thing you do is read it, okay? Read it. Hear it, read it. It's hard to do. He must write a copy of the law on a scroll. What is this passage about? Israel wanted to have a king, and so God says, okay, if you're going to have a king, I'll let you have a king. But this king is not going to be like the pagan kings. He's going to be different. I want him to do this. He's got to take the scroll. They didn't have bound books like we do. They would write it on a sheet and roll it up. It was called a scroll. I want him to take the law. That means the first five books of the Bible. That's all they had up to that point in history. I want him to take this. I want him to write his own. He's going to copy it. They didn't have Xerox, okay? They didn't have texting. They didn't have emailing. He had to write it down himself. That means he had to read and write. And he shall keep it with him and what? Read from it. How often? Once a week when he goes to Sabbath school. Once in a while. Every day of his life. This must become lifelong. You must commit yourself to daily reading of the word. If you don't, you'll never grow. If you're... commitment to God is once in a while, then that's all you get to expect from it. then he will learn to respect the Lord his God, and he will obey, he or she will obey all of the teachings and the commands. There's no excuse anymore. Their Bibles are everywhere, unless you're in China where they throw you in jail for having a Bible. But even so, the Bible still gets to people. There it is. It's for you. If you want it, there it is. If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Proverbs 2. You need to study it. To hear it, to read it, you need to study it. Hear it, read it, study it. If you accept my words and store my commands within you, that means get them from here into here, which hopefully gets into here. Store up my commands in you, turning your ear to wisdom, applying your heart to understand. This means an intentional commitment to, like people say, I want to become a doctor. I want to go to college. What are you going to do at college? Where's Kalina? She went. There she is. What are you going to do there? My first cousin's daughter just graduated from UNM, and she is now a doctor, a medical doctor. She got her degree, so now she goes into internship, and she's going to practice medicine. How did she do that? A commitment to study, to going to school, to doing the assignments, to attending, to doing everything she needed to do to make that happen. Same thing with the Word of God. You need to apply your heart to understanding. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, God, I don't get this. Have you ever studied something? It's like, man, I don't get this. I don't get this. What do you do? What do you do when you are studying that way and you don't get something? You go get a tutor. You go ask an expert. Or nowadays you can get on YouTube and you get all kinds of stuff to understand. Then if you look for it as silver, how do people look for silver and gold? Have you ever seen that TV series where it's called like Gold Rush or Alaska Gold or whatever? How do they look for it? They get big bulldozers and tractors, and they do everything they can and move a whole mountain and get like this much gold. If you look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see what this admonition is? By the way, I'm just giving you some passages. There's tons and tons of passages about reading, studying, hearing the Word of God. The one I gave to the girls, the graduates, the high school graduates, I shouldn't say girls, the young ladies, the women, for they are now women. Okay? Look what it says here in Joshua chapter 1. It's pretty cool. Boy, this is a study Bible. I've got about 20 introductory pages. The Lord speaking to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Be very careful to obey all of the words of my servant Moses that I gave to him to give to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. What does that mean? Don't deviate. Stay on the word. So that you may have success wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid of life. Don't be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua chapter 1. That's a great, great admonition for all of us, okay? That's why you're here, I hope. This is a Bible church, and this is all this church emphasizes. My whole life was going to Bible school. All of my graduate, postgraduate degrees are all in Bible. Why? Because I want to teach this to people. Because you need to know. We don't need a bunch of experience at church. We need to understand truth. And the only way to understand it is to have somebody declare it to you in an articulate and a sensible way. Okay, so let's keep on going. You need to study it. Next thing is you need to memorize it. Oh, I can't memorize. Don't worry. Before the chapters and verses weren't in existence before, like, the Middle Ages. Paul the Apostle said, somewhere in the prophets it's written this. And it says, Jesus took the scroll of Isaiah and he read from it. So what do? You just memorize whole portions of Scripture. If you keep on reading it and reading it, it'll stick in your head. Now, if you think, I can't memorize, so what you can do is like what you did when you were growing up. You listened to your favorite music how often? Every day, all the time. So all you have to do is go back into your memory banks and you can right away recall that song and start singing with it, right? So get the praise music that actually takes the text of the Bible and put it to song, because there's many, many praise music that you can look up, and it's the Bible, and it'll help you memorize. What it says here in Psalms is this: how can a young man keep his way pure, or woman? How can anyone keep your way pure? By living according to your word. oh, it's too late for me, I'm not pure anymore. Well, you can get back to purity. I remember in the 60s when the hippie movement went on and everybody wanted to clean up the pollution, some of the rivers back east were so polluted that you couldn't even go across them. They were like sewers. And they did. They cleaned them up. And now they flow clean. Now, I don't know if it's still that way, but we know that pollution can really mess something up, but you can also restore it, right? So you've been polluted, or if you've been in sin and you're all messed up and stained with all kinds of stuff in your life, it doesn't mean you have to stay that way. Let God get in there and clean you up so that you can be pure again. How can you keep yourself pure? How do you start? Well, if you've had a life that's all messed up, start here. Start reading, start studying, start learning about right and wrong, and then recognize, like Jessica said, oh man, I'm seeing here that I have a choice about, I can live that way or I can live this way. Start choosing the right ways. Live according to the word, not just hear what it says. Like James says, you must do it. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. What does he say? I have hidden your word where? In my heart. How did he do this? By continually reading it and listening to it so that I might not sin against you. When I first started to read the Bible, I grew up Roman Catholic and I had all kinds of teaching and superstitions from my culture and my dad and my mom and my grandparents and this and that. And I started to read and I go, wow, I didn't know that was wrong. Wow, I didn't know that was wrong. If you don't want to sin against God unless you don't care, do you realize that there is a God? And that the way we live our lives, he knows, he watches. It says in Genesis, right before he sent the flood to destroy the world before the flood, it says that his heart was grieved when he looked at the world of men. For they were filled with all kinds of wickedness all the time. So we live our lives, and if you think, it doesn't matter, God doesn't care, oh, he does. He cares. And that's why the wrath of God is coming upon this creation. He destroyed the first one with a flood of water, and this next one is with a fire of eternal destruction. Now, you need to meditate on the word. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it. What does that mean? If you ever heard of a cow chewing the cud, you know what that is? If you ever wondered why you look at these big creatures like buffalo and elk and cows and bison and horses, boy, look at that big body and look what they eat. All they eat, they don't eat steaks and hamburgers. We do that tomorrow. They eat grass. They eat grass. And God has designed them to be able to eat grass and to get everything that they can out of that grass. So God has given them multiple stomachs. And what they do is they regurgitate their food and they chew on it again. It's called chewing the cud. They chew it. So they keep on chewing it and it keeps on digesting, and they get everything they need in order to exist. Those big, huge animals. Go stand by a bison. No, don't go stand by a bison. Go find somebody with a cattle ranch and stand by the prize bull behind the fence, okay? Stand on this side of the fence. I could tell you stories about that. I got smacked by a cow. I was fishing out in the Pecos River. I was a little kid, me and my friend. We were fishing, right? And a cow had just given birth in the thicket, and we never saw it. And we were walking through the thicket, and it thought we were attacking its brand new baby cow. It was still wet, okay? I saw it because after what happened, I saw the little baby cow. Because I was wondering, why did this cow do this to me? I heard something, and I looked, and I saw a big black thing coming at me, and all of a sudden, I was flying through the air. It hit me right in the back. I didn't have time to, I just looked like that, and boom, I went flying into the water on the other side of the river. That's how far it threw me. And my friend was just a little bit ahead of me. He climbed the pine tree. He was at the top of the pine tree, and this cow was so angry that it started smacking the pine tree like this. And he was whipping back and forth. Jimmy, go tell the ranch manager. And he's like 10 miles away, and I'm there laughing. I already had my damage, and I was safe on the other side of the river. That was a blast, man. Anyway, I'll never forget that. But those things are huge animals, and they chew the cud. They meditate on it all day and night. So you do this with the Bible. You meditate on it. How often? All day long. Maybe you read it. I don't get this. Man, I'm just keep on thinking about this. Maybe I'll read some more. Oh, yeah. Okay, now I see it. You meditate on it. You cogitate. It means to turn it around in your mind, in your thinking. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are always with me. All of us have resistance in our life, our own flesh, our own upbringing, friends, family members, co-workers. Nobody's exempt from resistance in your life. God does that to test you, to help you to grow. Why does he put you around the really impatient person so that you learn patience? Why does he put you around that kind of person so that you can learn? I have more insight than my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. For all you know, there's somebody sitting in this church who's going to excel me in every way concerning the Word of God. I'm totally serious about this. I didn't know that as I became a brand new Christian and I began to study the Bible, read it, because I was just so happy to learn, to learn, to learn. I remember Ari was telling me in school, they don't tell you any of this stuff. And I started to realize that myself. So I just delved into this and I was reading it and reading it. When I went back to college, I went to Bible college. I went to graduate school, to Bible graduate school. And I just started immersing myself in this thing. And that's all I've been in my whole life. So you need to do this so that you will become, if you will, even greater than your teachers. And that is the goal, that you become somebody who can articulate the Word of God to other people around you. Now, there's an amazing process in this. God needs to give you tact and the ability to speak to people in the right way at the right time and in the right circumstances. I have now learned that, okay, but it has taken 60 years. I'm 60 this year. This year, I complete my 59th year. I was born in 1959 on September 19th at 9 o'clock. Anyway, just kidding. How sweet your words are to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's the kind of attitude they had towards the Bible. Look what Jesus said about this. He told them many things in the parable, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow and they had no root. And the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. What is root? Putting something down into the ground. And in this metaphor, you put your thoughts, your life, you build your life into this. Other seed fell amongst thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced crop 100, 30, or 60 times. If you have ears, hear. Now, here's the teaching. This, we're listening to Jesus. He taught this to the apostles. Now, watch what he does. He tells them, look, I'm going to explain this to you. Because to you, because you're following me, is given the mysteries of the kingdom of God. If you are my sheep, hear my voice, they follow me. Here's the interpretation that Jesus himself gave of his own teaching. This is his own interpretation of his own teaching. And that's what's so cool about the Bible, is you don't need to listen to some preacher about it. Let the Bible tell you. Watch. That's why when people come up with weird doctrines and you go read the Bible, it's like, wow, where'd they get that from? It's not here. Show me in the Bible. If you believe something, show it to me in the Bible, and then I'll believe it. If you can't, then don't show it to me. Well, what about science? Oh, if science is there, I know science is even in the Bible. And God doesn't contradict himself at all, even in science, astronomy, biology, anything. Listen then to what this parable means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, that means that God is coming, that he has sent his son, that he has sent his Holy Spirit, that he has saved your soul, he's died for your sins. That is the message of the kingdom. And does not understand, no, I don't believe that. Then the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in your heart. What's happening right now? You're hearing a preacher preach about the Bible. And if you listen to it, and if you say, yeah, this is it, this is it, then that is God. And that is, but if you say, I don't need that, then guess who's behind that? The devil, because he said it right here, the evil one. You know who that is? The devil comes and snatches away the word from you. That's his tactic. It's always been his tactic. That'll never stop. He'll always attack the Word of God, the people of God, by trying to dissuade you from coming and listening and learning. Nah, I don't need to do this today. I don't need to listen today. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man or woman who hears the word and at once says, all right, heaven, all right, forgiveness, cool, I like that. But since he has no root, he lasts just a short time. Why? Because persecution comes because of the word and you quickly fall away. Jessica, when you were talking, it reminded me of this. Yes, things go well when you start following God. They do. And if you continue to stay in the word of God, you will continue to have success. However, there will also come challenge because look what it says. Persecution comes. Why? Because of what? The word. Why does it come? Because of the word. Because anyone who chooses God immediately becomes a target against the enemy. Watch. They fall away. The one who received the seed that fell amongst the thorns is a man or the woman. They listen to the word, but guess what happens? The worries of this life. What are the worries of this life? Sickness, finance, you know, relationship problems, emotional problems, drug problems, alcohol problems, life problems. What are life problems? Everything. The deceitfulness of wealth. Oh, I'm here just to make money. That's all. But don't forget what Jesus said. Life is more than just making money, right? Every word of God. It's not just about money. It's about every word of God. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and make it unfruitful. So, well, you have a lot of people who said yes to Jesus, but they're ineffective. And why are they ineffective? Because their only concern is their nest egg, their retirement, their job, their career. That's all they're concerned about. So they're not fruitful for the word of God. They're only existing. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil. So no matter which soil you were, or if you look at this and you say, well, I'm kind of like the rocky soil, or I'm like the soil on the side of the path, or maybe I'm the weeds and that. So when you go to plant, what do? You pull all the weeds, you get rid of all the rocks, you plow it, and you plant seed in it, right? So if you represent one of those soils, you can prepare your soil. Pull the weeds out, get the rocks out of the way, and let the word of God dwell in you and grow in you. That's how it works. Pull the weeds out. What are the weeds? False doctrines, superstitions, weird beliefs, sins. Get them out so that the word of God can take root in you. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. That is the parable of the teaching of the word of God. Now watch. I want to show you an example in the Bible of what happens spiritually the moment you make the decision that I want to listen to this. I'm coming to a Bible church. Okay, that's great. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, brother, sister. But guess what? They traveled throughout the whole island and they came to Paphos. This is the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. There they met a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. Now, let me explain what's going on. This is Roman Empire days. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas are sent out by the church at Antioch, and they began to preach the salvation of Jesus and the word of God to people all around them. They planted churches everywhere they went. And there's a false prophet. He's Jewish, and his name is Son of Jesus. That's a common Jewish name. Yeshua, Joshua was the name. There's a lot of Joshuas even today. It's a common name. Even in Spanish, the name Jesus is very common. So you would be called in Hebrew, Bar is Son of Jesus, Son of Joshua. He was a Jew. But he was a false prophet, it says, and he was a sorcerer. If you're a Jewish person and you're a sorcerer, you're already in conflict with the word of God. Because do you know what the word of God says to Jewish people about sorcery and divination and witchcraft and superstitions and Ouija boards and seances and praying to the dead and demons and all that? You know what it teaches them? Read Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It says anyone who practices witchery or sorcery or divination must be put to death. God actually prohibited all the Jewish people from paying attention to that at all. And he says, don't listen to that. Don't seek the dead on behalf of the living. Don't pray to Elvis to see what's happening. Oh, Elvis, please tell me what's happening. Oh, Grandma, please come up and tell me what to do. I mean, come on. What is this? We're so weird and superstitious in our culture. It's crazy. We got to get rid of that stuff. Oh, no, somebody's giving me the evil eye. Oh, no, I saw somebody there. They practice witchcraft. They put a curse on me. I got to get a horseshoe, put it on my... People have all these weird beliefs about this stuff. You got to get past that because it's all false. It's false. The Bible says about the Antichrist that when he comes, he will perform false signs and wonders to deceive people. Jesus said, watch out when they ask him, what about the end times? He goes, guess what? The end times? Watch out. For what, Jesus? For false prophets. Why? Because they're going to abound. Many liars, many fakers, fake teachers, false prophets are going to arise and they're going to deceive many, said Jesus. Why? Because people listen to them. Don't listen to them. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the Bible. Listen to what God says in here. It'll clear up all of those weird superstitions about how you should live, what you should do. It's all in here. How do you have a better marriage? It's here. How do you have better sex? It's here. How do you have better finance? It's here. Better sex? It's in the Bible? Oh, yeah. It talks about it. Read the Song of Solomon. It talks about it. He wanted to hear the word of God, this proconsul, an intelligent man. He was a Roman official. He wanted to hear the word of God. You want to hear the Bible. That's why you're coming to this church, because you're hearing something here that you may not have heard anywhere else. Why? Because here, this is what we emphasize. It's in our doctrinal statement. We are a Bible church. This is our emphasis. That's it. He wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer opposed them. And what did he do? Tried to turn him from the faith. He opposed Barnabas and Paul and tried to keep the man from listening to the word of God. Oh, no, you don't need that. Those guys, who know? You don't need that. Think about that right now. Is there people in your life who try to keep you from God, keep you from the Bible, keep you from church attendance, keep you from listening, learning? You know where they're from? The enemy. Watch this. Watch what happens next. Then Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at this false prophet and said, "You are a child of the devil." And I'm so scared of you. You're going to put a curse on me. Oh, no. He confronted it right off. He's not afraid. You have nothing to fear as a Christian from the so-called powers of darkness. Neither height nor depth, nor angel nor demon can separate us from the love of God. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't have to be afraid of him. Why? Because he's false. He's false. He's false. Jesus said he's a liar. He has nothing, just death. That's all he's got. That's all he's got. His only power is to lie. If you want to listen to lies, go for him. Go for him. He'll give you all the lies you want. He'll fill your crock full of it, full of lies. You're a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is aright. You're an enemy of the Bible. You're an enemy of the teaching of God. Will you never stop perverting the ways of the Lord, the right ways of the Lord? You're full of deceit and trickery. That's what false prophets are full of. Now the hand of the Lord is against you, false prophet. You are going to be blind for a time. You will be unable to see the light of the sun immediately. Mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And the proconsul, this Roman official, he saw what had happened. And he believed. Why? Because of that? No. Because of this. He was amazed at what? The word of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord, the teaching of Paul and Barnabas and Jesus and the apostles and the prophets. It's all in here, people. Are you amazed at this or not? You have to settle that now if you want to grow spiritually, or you never will. If you think that this is just another book, then you're going to build your life that way. But if you think that this is a book that is worth building your life on, it's going to change you forever. And you're going to have eternal results. Let's stand together. How we thank you, Lord, for the word of God, which has delivered us from false teaching. When you said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free," what you meant is freedom from the lies and the deceits of the enemy, who teaches so many things. And the Bible says in Timothy that in the end times, people will pay attention to doctrines of demons. That means their teachings, their philosophies, their false beliefs. Help us, Lord, to be free from that and listen to the pure, unadulterated word of God, which is able to deliver us and to make us grow and to make us be healthy spiritually, mentally, socially, and in every way. As we each go out into this world, back to our jobs, back to our families, back to our circles of friendship. Help us, Lord, to bring the word of God there too in a loving, tactful, and wonderful way so that they may know this thing that we now know, that you are the Savior, that you are our God, and that you have delivered us from sin and evil, and that even death itself is not something that we need fear. For physical death is one thing. It is the second death that we must all fear. If you love your loved one who doesn't love God, do you all have here? I'm just with my eyes closed. I'm not looking at you. If you have a loved one who doesn't know God, do you realize in what danger they are in? Do you realize it? Somebody just told me this morning, that a friend's son just got killed in an Uber accident. They got rear-ended, and he's gone now, and he was only like 30. Are you ready to be into eternity? Do you realize that if you don't have God, you are in a peril that is worse than any peril that there can be? You cannot die without God. Do you love your wife? Do you love your mom, your dad, your uncles, your friends? Do you love them? Do you realize that if they don't have Christ, that they are in eternal peril? They hang in the balance? And that you, as a believer, can have an impact in their lives by telling them they need to turn their life to Him? That's not hate, that's love. If you really love them, you will tell them about the eternal truths of God. If you don't love them, then don't tell them. They'll die without God, and it'll be on you. Do you want that? I ask you, do you want that? It's time for you to open your mouth and tell people you need God. You need God. And stop compromising with that. They need God. That's why you're still here on earth yourself, to tell the people around you that they need God. They need Jesus. They need the Bible. They need the Holy Spirit. They need forgiveness. And without it, they are lost. How much do you love them? Do you love them enough to offend them with the name of Jesus? Or are you so selfish that you don't want to make them get angry at you by telling them that Jesus loves them? Why is it such a curse to tell people that Jesus loves them? Oh, they won't like me anymore. Maybe they won't. But maybe that will tell you something. What are you doing with them? So in Jesus' name, help your people, Lord, to be more open and tactful as they tell people around them about who you are. I know that even right now, as I spoke these words, that many people's minds went to their loved ones, their wives, their husbands, their nieces, their nephews, their sons, their daughters, their friends, their coworkers, their grandpas, their grandmas, and they're thinking about them right now. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, call them from the grave. Call them out so that they can know who you are too. Lazarus, come out. Be one of my people. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And if they don't follow Jesus, then they are not from Jesus. Amen.